September the 30th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Mother Earth turns man to God. I am a witness as a student now for about 50 years, a serious student studying the Word of God, studying the way of the world. I am a witness that man has no great achievements whatsoever that he doesn't owe to revealed knowledge. Without revealed knowledge, he will still be drinking out of a skull, chasing women, and beating them over the head with sticks, with tree limbs and stuff to get his pleasures. But he has been civilized, and the first to be civilized was the one that God guided, who turned back to his God by way of study or research to creation itself. Muhammad turned to the creation that bore him as his mother, so to speak, and he questioned his mother, and his mother pointed him to his father, symbolically speaking, metaphorically speaking, God Almighty. So this is how it happened. Don't think that it is correct for a Muslim to use that kind of language. It is not. I used it, I said, metaphorically speaking. And I'm going to clear up the mess by telling you it is forbidden for us to use that kind of language in Al-Islam. There is no metaphor for God. But since the Christian world has that kind of language, it was easy for me to make my point with it to you, a Western product. So I used it. Adam as an incomplete creation, it was complete with Muhammad. God says he made his man with his two hands, with both his hands. What does this tell us about the man that God has as our first father? We know that he was referring to Adam. But for the scholars in Islam, especially for the blessed scholars in Islam, whose thoughts have been blessed by God, we know that Adam was incomplete when he was made. His completion began with the next prophet and the next prophet and the next prophet until the last one. With the last one, his creation is complete. The creation of Adam is complete. So the creation of Adam was not completed until Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, was created. And how did Allah create Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him? Ar-Rahmanu, the merciful God, the beneficent God, or the merciful benefactor, Khalika Insan, Alima Quran. That's first. Then Khalika Insan, he revealed the Quran, taught it, and then created the person. Muhammad created twice. So Muhammad was created twice by two hands. He was perfect in his natural creation before the revelation of the Quran came. And then God came and created him with the other control, the hand of revelation. Then after he completed him, he said, Ar-Rahmanu, not God the Father. The concept is non-existent, not God the Son or the Holy Ghost. These concepts are not non-existent. So God the Merciful Benefactor. So you're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa. We worship him. There was a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amir is a title, not Khalifa. I think I have already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amirs, because that is a title for which we have justification from the Quran and from the life of the Prophet. So where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, in order by what has been revealed, command order, Amir. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, or mutual consultation. So this is the meeting of the mind, the mature meeting of the best mind, discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment they all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you an Amir. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amirs. The biggest Amir, he is over all of us. So the president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, in this country. There are presidents of corporations and other things, right? So they are presidents too. But we have one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. So he is the president of the United States. So we can have Amirs here and Amirs there. Amirs over sweeping the floor. When the bakery closed down, who's the Amir for the sweeping of the crumbs up, brothers? Alhamdulillah. So you are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. So I believe if that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. So the prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer. And he has a plan overriding all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were not introduced to it, pardon me, they were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet. And only a few of them, a select few, amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic sciences, came to the conclusion that the prophet is Rajulun Ta'alamu, meaning that he is the perfect man, and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. So he is complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be, made on this earth, then he became the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire of whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that were expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 3, This day have those who rejected faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete as God intended it, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was the reflection of the Quran. More so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel to cause a scholarly Lady Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as an embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English, they spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. So you're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa. We worship him. There was a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amir is the title, not Khalifa. So I think I have already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amir, because that is a title for which we have justification from the Quran and from the life of the Prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order, Amir. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, of mutual consultation. This is the meeting of the minds, the mature meeting of the best minds, discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment they all support, right? So that's what God says to do. The prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you and Amira. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amiras. The biggest Amira is over all of us. So the president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, in this country. They are presidents of corporations and other things, right? So they are presidents too. But we have one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. So he is the president of the United States. So we can have our mirrors here and our mirrors there. Our mirrors over sweeping the floor. When the bakery closed down, who is the Amir for the sweeping of the crumbs up? Brother, alhamdulillah. So you are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. I believe if that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. The Prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer. And he has a plan to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention this term Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic sciences, came to the conclusion that the prophet is Rajulun Ta'alamun, meaning that he is the perfect man and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. So once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be, made on this earth, then he becomes the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that were accepted from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 3, this day have those who rejected faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming of the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day, I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection go together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete, as God intended it, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was a reflection of the Quran more so than that. Was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel to call the scholarly Lady Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. Then if his identity, when she asked to describe him, if his identity then is really the embodiment of the Quran walking, living amongst us, expressing itself amongst us in marvelous words and also with deeds, then if he was that and the Quran was completed and perfect, then himself is also completed and perfect. So the scholars reason that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is the answer to an age-long expectation that was on the wise of the world, that man was living moved by his creator, by his shaper, to better and more complete form, that he is not finished. That's why it says, I will be what I am. I shall be what I am. What I am not yet, but I shall be what I am. So who could say that with any more confidence, comfort than Adam himself? If he knew his creation, Adam is the one who should say that. Adam should say that somebody might say, who are you, Adam? If Adam knew that he was created to be the Khalifa, and that he really was incomplete, but it was coming. Adam represents a line of life that's continuous. Muhammad is Adam in completion, the perfection. So if someone says Muhammad was Adam, am I incorrect? No, I'm perfectly correct. Muhammad was Adam in completion and perfection. He is Adam. So Adam starts with the first creation, the first act of God, to create his man. And mind you, Allah did not say to the angels, I have created a man. God never said to the angels, I have created a man. I want you to respect him. God said, I am going to create a man. And I'm going to create a khalifa. If you look at the expression in the Quran, and you as a person who has studied that word, its grammatical rule for its grammar, how is it to be explained grammatically? You will know that God was saying not that I created or that I am going to create. By reason, yes, I'm going to create. But actually, what God said is, I am creating. I am in the act now, or act right now, or the creating a khalifa. And ja'alun, I am making a creation. Where am I making him? In heaven, fil'at, in the earth. So I am making in the earth a khalifa. So this is what God says to the angels. But it's okay to translate it, I am going to make in the earth a khalifa. I'm not saying that we should do away with that translation. But for the teaching, you should make it clear that the verb says, I am making at that time. I am doing this. I am making now, and I am making a ruler or a khalifa in the earth. God spoke of Adam. Adam was the first step in that work, in that plan. Adam had in himself, at that time, the concept God created. And the concept at that time had all future possibilities in it, although Adam at the time had not awakened to all of those possibilities. All the future possibilities in him. Adam, when he was made, he became father of all the generations, the father of even our leader, our prophet, the last prophet, Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So Muhammad the eighth led seven prophets in prayers. So we know according to the teachings of the prophet, Adam was the first concept, and out of him, it was possible to have all the other concepts. According to the teachings of the prophet, it was possible to have Jesus the Christ, peace be upon him. And it was possible to have after him Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon him. And Idris the fourth, peace be upon him. And Harun, Aaron, the fifth, peace be upon him. And Musa, Moses, the sixth, peace be upon him. And Abraham, the seventh, peace be upon him. And Muhammad, the completion of all of them, who led them all in prayer, peace be upon him. He was the eighth, and he led the seventh in prayer. So prayer is a word, the Quran. So this is Islamic teaching. He led the seven in prayers, even his father Adam. He led his father Adam in prayers. He led his father Abraham, pardon me. He led his father Abraham in prayer. What is this telling us? That here is the son, the last son in the prophetic progression. The last son, he leads even seven, two fathers in prayer. Did he lead them in anything else other than prayer? No, only in prayer. So what is the prayer? The word. What is the word? The Quran. The completion and the perfection that they all was aspiring to reach. Now here is the answer coming in the last month. And without a doubt, he saw him in the clear horizon. So he led them in prayer to demonstrate to us by way of metaphor, or demonstrate to us that here is a line of growth completed. Here is what Abraham wanted. Here is what Jesus Christ wanted. Here's what Joseph wanted, Yusuf wanted. Here's what Idris wanted. Here is what Aaron wanted. Here is what Moses wanted. Here is what Father Abraham wanted. So this is what they all wanted. They wanted the arrow to reach its target. And here it is fired out of a bow. Two travel along to the destination as though they are one. Reconciled perfectly, hitting the target perfectly. The Quran says he met him on a far horizon. It was a long way from Adam's day, a far horizon, but that spirit finally got there, and the job was complete and perfect, yes. So this is the way we should understand it. Christianity, no threat. What is their justification for withholding this knowledge from their masses? They are slave masters, intentionally and unintentionally. They are slave masters. This is the common knowledge that will protect us and allow us to grow in strength and in quality, numbers, and quality. So this is knowledge we need. If they would give their followers, I'm speaking of the Muslim world, what I gave you, they wouldn't have to worry about Christians coming amongst them, converting Muslims. They would be no threat from Christianity. How can they be a threat from a lower plane to a higher plane? God has been rising this up from lower planes to higher planes. And he claimed that Abraham and us sat on the light on the highest plane. Then how can there be any threat from our zone, from these zones beneath us? So this is not to speak and show disrespect or to speak in a disrespectful way of Christianity and Judaism. No. It is not at all, but it is simple. It's simply to say that if that all they have is what was written for them, we don't have anything to worry about. Now, God has progressed their thinking and enabled them to extract from what has been revealed to their prophets of old and see the light as it should be seen, in its completion and perfection. We still don't have anything threatening from them. We should make them our allies. We should become allies because we have been blessed by God, all of us, to come to the promised land. Now, the purpose in me dwelling on the concept or the idea of Khalifa like this all this long time is because I believe that it is our strongest starting point when we want to understand what is my existence. What is this thing here I call me, my flesh, my body, little baby? They can teach us something. We say, I'm going to take a bath, but listen to the little baby. Sometimes there's a little alert baby in the house, or a young child in the house, and you say bath, and they say, and the baby will say, body. Do I have to wash my body? Body, that's what you are. You are a body. And conscience is in the body, consciousness. So talking about Khalifa, we have dwelled on this term all of this time to establish that the starting point for us in understanding what we are and where we should be going is Khalifa. So it gives us a complete picture that should be the motivation in our life for every interest that we have, for every area of field of interest. Khalifa should be the thing that generates confidence, hope in us. What cannot accomplishes, we believe ourselves to be the Khalifas. So if we are believers in God as Muslims, God has made everything to give its service to his Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has made everything in the sky. That means the universe or the external world. He has made everything in the sky, the skies. He said, skies, plural, somewhere. Everything in the sky. And the word, the Quran says He made it to give it service to His Khalifa. And He put Khalifa into the plural, meaning there will be Khalifas, many all over the world. And they will be generations after generations. They will continue just like the generation of man. In fact, the Khalifa is the real line of the generation of man. So it is the real line of the generation of man. He said that He has made us Khalifa or Khalifas in the earth. And then we, if we understand that, and we see that our starting point is Khalifa, something that is not finished. The finish line for the Khalifa is Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him. And with him, all of us, if we follow his revelation, his pattern, his suwah, his uswa, his pattern, who can motivate us better than God? The starting point is that point. As long as we perceive or see ourselves and our ability and our creative ability, our inherent or creative ability, as long as we see ourselves native ability all referring to the same as Khalifa, then we don't need anybody to motivate us. Who can motivate us better than God? Allah is the best to motivate us. Khalifa is for everyone in the essence of pristine nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us that all of us in our essence, all of us in our pristine nature, in our original capacity, all of us have potential to be His Khalifa on this earth. There are learned Muslims that I have met from different parts of the world, particularly from Pakistan, India, and Palestine, Palestinian, hinting very strongly to me from the Sudis, the Egyptians, that maybe Allah is making a Khalifa in America. I've had some agents come up to me and even told me. And I'll tell them the same thing I told you all. The Khalifa is not meant to be one man. We all are Khalifas. And if we have someone who qualifies to be the leader for us all, then that person should simply be called a leader or that group for that group or the imam, but not Khalifa. That term is reserved because it is the property of the common person. It is the inheritance of the common person. And if you make it the title for your leader, you take the common people's mind off it as their inheritance. They told me that, and I witnessed inside. They were telling the truth. The Khalifa is being made in America. So the job of light is to condition light. So the biggest job of light is to condition the light. So when light comes, it doesn't only show you where you can go, but light makes you feel better inside. Light is revealing. Darkness is burdensome, especially when you want to do things. That's why God said He made the darkness to oppress and made the light to liberate. If light conditions us as well as clear in the environment, so we can see where to go and how to go about it. What is this conditioning? And I was about to say the conditioning is that it makes you feel better and it makes you less burdened. It makes you more prepared to act or to move to do the things you have to do. It alleviates you. That's why the light is also called the light. It alleviates you. it makes you feel more alive, more active. You've got more energy to go now. And it actually energizes you. Light energizes the spirit. Just like the physical electricity energizes whatever it's sent into, right? So the light energizes the spirit. And it also comforts, gives comfort. Because with light comes warmth, too. The same light that gives us life also gives us warmth. The sun, the original light, the biggest light here we have. One that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hung up in the ceiling. And when it is hung up there, all other lights lose their attention. They are not on the stage anymore. They still exist, but they have no stage anymore once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hangs that big sun up there in the daytime. The sun, what is the role of that sun light? And this is the light that we should be comparing the light of revelation with, sun and light. Then the sun and the light is a sign, a metaphor in our world, pointing us to really the true light, which is the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. It is a sign of that. So let's look at the sun as a symbol now, as a sign of the real thing. So the sun does not only clear the environment for us to see things and approach them more safely and manage them more safely, etc., and this, but it also energizes us. It contributes to a happy day for us. Oh, look, how bright. Isn't this a beautiful, bright day? Sun, symbolic of happiness. So I've heard men of wisdom in ancient scriptures say that originally the sun was not a symbol of light. Though it was the light, they said it was a symbol of happiness, the light. The sun comes up, then happiness. So the light of the sun meant happiness. The influences was happiness. So this is what is meant to ancient people, I'm told. And I believe it. I believe it. I also did some research. I believe that in ancient times, they saw mainly as a symbol of happiness, not just light. So we know that that is the element behind all other development. So the sun influences weather more so than anything else. The sun acts upon the earth, acting upon the environment maybe, not directly all the time. But the sun is that the sun in its role influences weather more than anything else. It is the force behind all weather, cold, heat, cold and hot, rain and snow, sleet, everything, tides. So we say the moon controls the tides. That's what they say. The moon has no light of its own. The moon has no phases without the sun. Its phases are caused by the sun and its path and its relationship to the earth and their path around the sun. So this is how we have to explain it. So we explain whatever happened to the moon, whatever happened to the earth. If we explain it, we have to go to the sun to explain it. Haman Mahnoon, warm soul. The earth, the warm, the womb for all life. Human humus. From dying indicating souls. Now, plant grows not really because of rain. It is an additive. Plant grows because of the sun on the earth. The earth is the womb. The earth has the germ. But the sun must feed it. Now, before even there was germs in the earth, there was the sun. And the sun in time made the germ for production, scientific thinkers. I am sure you just instantly used to see it all. Because we know before there was animal life, plant life, then animal life, and a lot of dying and decaying finally made human souls. So that's how human souls came into existence. And now from human souls, we get all the great production. Things coming up and dying, death building up, the soil, is what has made it possible for us to have the richness of soil, humus. That's what we have now. So God made his man from what? Humus. Just soil, humus, manu. Hamis, manu. He made this man from hamis, manu. He made his man from rich soil, fertile soil, and the expression hamin is for the people of that time. In their language, hamis means warm. So you get a lot of life and a lot of fertility in the soil, and it's better than the soil without fertility. So you work hard with soil, you know. You put your hand in rich soil and feel it. Then put it in sand. Sand is cooler. So the more fertile soil is warmer. Manure is the play on. It might be offensive to your smell. So some translators said it's from stinky mud. They translated from stinky mud. That's not an exact translation. That is not perfect translation. So there is nothing there that says stinky, but it just says that it's warm. It has heat. And it is something that you might despise. But out of that comes the possibility for your life and your future. So what builds up all of that humus for the life to be created out of the sun. And the sun appears to the ancient man to rise up, really, from the bowels of the earth. So you see, ancient man was not scientific, so he didn't know where the sun was coming up from. The only thing he saw was that it was coming up. So when he was out at sea, it looked like it's dripping some of its fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water if he was at sea. Or if he was on an ocean, then the ocean was the east. When it rolled out of the ocean, he thought the sun was actually rising up out of the water. And it appears actually to be dripping some of its fire back into the water. I've seen it. It doesn't come up clear. And clear, it means clear of the water. But when it is rising up or rises up, you see beneath the sun the illusion that the sun looks like is dripping some of its fire down into the water as it's coming up. God has made the rising of the sun on ocean fronts or lake fronts or things like that to appear to man as actually it is a coming up out of the water. And if the land is open, it appears that it is coming up out of the earth itself. That's the sun is actually coming up out of the earth. And if the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky. And any explanation without science, it is a spooky thing, isn't it? Only science took the spook out of it. So we know now that it is just an inanimate body of fire, of burning material. So we know that now, but ancient man did not. He was in the bubble mat. The oppressive darkness, and he was being formed And God formed him to believe that a God is doing this. And this is a sign to me that I have to read. So what? How shall I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his law. He doesn't know science either. But he believes in the Lord. He knows that something did it all. How am I to read this, my Lord? He finally come to read it as God intended for him to read it. That's the potential of the sun rising up out of the earth. That's the potential of the sun coming up out of the earth to light the earth. Now look at your earth, your body. He also made a sun to rise in your body, in the dead body of your body, pardon me, in the dead matter of your body. And once your potential rises up and frees itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes, it was a sign that God gave ancient man. And then the language becomes confused in time. And they take the sun to be God. I may say then that the Khalifa can be metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? The Khalifa, not the sun, the S-U-N. We must come to the understand religion, the life history of religion. Because when we are talking about religion today, we are talking about religion in a completely new picture or a new focus or a view from that man had before, what he called the traditional or the classical prophets of God. You know, we talk about Adam. We have history, men's history bears witness to certain developments in the life of the religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what the modern world comes to call heathenism, paganism, idol worship. So religion of early man was not corrupt. Paganism, idolatry, declined in religion. I believe that what we call paganism, heathenism, idol worship, I believe that this represents a decline in religion. I believe that originally man did not have what we may call, for what of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of paganism or heathenism, and believed that his religion was the best that could come about in his time. Then human conditions and circumstances. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier, things in the environment as messengers themselves of the God behind it all. He saw these things as messengers. The sun as a messenger giving him a message. The trees, or the particular trees that attracted him, his attention more than others, as a message, giving him a message. So Khalifa is sun. Now, it is interesting to me to note that in some language, S-U-N, the sun outside, is nature, natural, or of nature gender. In some languages, it is masculine. In some languages, it is feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I established earlier is correct, that the sun may be used as a sign or a symbol of Khalifa, the potential that is in us, that once it is fed or released, it becomes the light of our world. So if I am right, correct in that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. They can't give a gender to the sun. One language says that it is a she. Another language says it's a he. Another language says it's nature or nurture. So the potential in our potentials, we are both male and female. So woman, not the cause of the downfall of man. Isn't this the same problem we have with our own selves, this sex problem we have? We can't decide whether we should be men or women, female or male or unisex or what. But in our potential, we are both. And the best rule, as I said earlier, we must have both in him. The sensitive of both in him in order to be a good ruler. Now, that takes a lot of the macho out of the man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you are a normal man, come up naturally and normally, the right muscle is a little stronger than the left one. You have a male side and a female side. Brain stronger intellectually on so-called left weaker body side. So actually you have a female side and a male side. But the science say most of your best health for your intellect comes from the left side and not from the right side. Isn't that what they say? So we weaker side physically is stronger. The stronger side is when it comes to the intellectual ignuity. And you know the beginning of the intellect for Adam didn't come until he had a wife. I'm talking straight. Man, actually facts of history, of language, of scripture, etc. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife, you say. Oh, but that wife caused him to lose his sight. No, he just had to have a night in which to rest so he could wake up and have more energy for another day and a better day. Because each time he went to sleep, when he woke up better, more prepared for the day, better prepared for the day. And in Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife isn't a partner with the serpent in Islam. The serpent is acting by himself, and he, the serpent, deceiving both male and the female. So he is causing the problem for both of them. And the woman is not helping him. She is not his partner in Islam. Understand that, Baptist brother, who is teaching Islam now. Man, two stages, natural possibility, then revelation. Now, the point that I want to make here is this, that religion has taken man to two stages. Religion of man, in the first stage, was man in the hand of God. That represents the natural possibility before revelation. Religions for us begin with Adam, the first man. And the first man with us means the beginning of the strain in the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, the beginning for us is the beginning of revealed religion. Revealed to Adam. So God revealed to Adam. Adam, man of human nature, not sin. He failed to learn not to commit bigger obstacles in the future. So God revealed to Adam because God says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, that means the gift of inspiration, divine inspiration, and revelation. And God says, and he comes upon a word, and he repented. The word was the word of revelation, and he repented for his wrong. And God accepted his repentance. So Adam is not the man of sin. He is the man of human nature. He is capable of making errors. He is capable of sinning. But that's what God created him for. God created him to learn by experience and to grow by experience, to not repent the mistakes he makes, but to learn from them so he doesn't make them in the future, and be prepared to perhaps avoid even bigger obstacles in the future, because he already met with the smaller ones that alerted him better, alerted him more. So we see as a learning process what they call the weakness in man. So we see it as a component of his strength. If we didn't have also the capacity to err, among with the capacity to want to be perfect, we wouldn't progress. So the angel's one capacity, it is to be perfect, not to err. So the angel have only one capacity, the capacity to be perfect. They don't have the capacity to err, to make error, but it wasn't the angels that God said he put a degree over them. It was the Khalifa that he said he made a degree over the angels. I wouldn't exchange this human nature for anything in creation. Nothing on earth or in the heavens. I know that might disappoint you. It is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best. Everything, but it is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most attractive place for me is the place of human life and the possibilities of human life and human possibilities that the most attracts the place for me. It is not in my nature. Fool in revealed wisdom wants to be God. That I understand God in the world, it is not in my nature to even want to approach in any small degree. So we are at the completion of our time. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It means only if it please God. I'm your host, Elihu Bey. Before we go this evening, we want to remind everybody about the Clara Muhammad Pioneer Islamic Education in the United States. They have created $5,425. They need an additional $100,000 to start the project. The believers can make a donation to GoFundMe.com. To make your donation, created by the Friends of Imam Donnell Kareem, also you can purchase his book on Sister Clara Muhammad. Help make possible the publishing of Imam Donnell Kareem's book on Sister Clara Muhammad. He was the assistant to Imam W.D. Muhammad and a childhood friend. Donnell Kareem has been a practicing member of the Muslim community for over 74 years. Also, in this pandemic, when we are restricted in Juma in big numbers, you can find out about what's happening at the Juma and here in America and the Muslims throughout the world are taking out a subscription to the Muslim Journal. And not just for yourself, for your neighbor. So with that, I'm your host, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and once again, thank you for listening. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m.